So great that everyone can be with us today. I have a question for you guys. If you know the answer, raise your hand. Is there anyone who knows what this is? What do you think? What is this? A crown. Who wears this? Is there anyone who knows who the highest king is? Who is the highest king? God, yes. So God is the highest king, but he's also placed kings and leaders over countries. In Sweden, we have a king. Maybe this is hard, but does anyone know the king of Sweden? Gustav, yeah. Carl Gustav. Carl the 16th Gustav. But in Sweden, the king doesn't have so much power. We have a king, but he doesn't have so much power. Instead, our highest leader is the prime minister. Is there anyone who knows what the prime minister's name is? Maybe we should ask the adults. Anyone know what his name is? Are there any adults who know the prime minister's name? Ulf, yes. Ulf Kristersson. You guys know what? The Bible teaches us that God places kings. And he also takes away kings and leaders who are over countries. People who are leaders over a country are called the authorities. Can anyone say authorities? This means to be over. It's the people who are over us. They, by God, have received authority to lead us as a country. And they are those who also work for the leaders of our country, like, for example, the police or the firefighters, who, by the authorities, have received the job to protect us and to make sure that everything is in order and prepared in our country. And you children also have someone who has authority over you, and that's your parents. God has given your parents for your God has given you parents for your best and for your good. So today we're going to see how we should relate to the authorities in our country who God has given us. We'll be reading from Romans 13, verses 1 to 7. So Romans 13, verses 1 to 7. And this is what it says. Let every person, be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to listen to your word and to receive what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now all everyone who wants can receive a paper with questions that you can answer. And then there's also coloring pages that younger children can color. So the kids will help give out the papers and the pens. There's more pens on the fika table. So Wata will take one side and Kadub will take the other side. Adults are welcome to have a paper with questions, so don't be afraid to take one. Maybe don't take one of the coloring pages. Maybe one more child will help give things out. And this is in both Swedish and English. After the service, you can take your papers to Hannah with the papers, and she has something to give the children. There's also more pins. Lydia will go around and give pins out. There's anyone else who needs a pin? We all have a great problem. It is sin that we want to be kings of our own lives and we want to decide. We don't want to always obey our parents or the authorities. And Romans, which we're just now going through, begins with this problem. And how we, as people in our sin, have rebelled against God as our King. How people in their sin do not want to obey God, but want to be kings over their own lives. And that is why, because we want to take God away from His throne, that is why we deserve His judgment. But in His goodness, through His grace, not based on what we can do, God the Father offers us to be saved through faith in Jesus. Jesus took the punishment for all who repents and believes in Him. He did this so that we would be saved from this judgment to a wonderful eternity with God. And Jesus isn't dead anymore. He has resurrected so that we, through faith, can also resurrect with Him. This is really, really great news. The gospel. So in the first part of Romans, in chapters 1 to 4, is about this. It's about the gospel, how we are saved, how we're saved by grace. In Romans 5-8, we have paid attention to how we receive help to live by the grace that God has given us. And in Romans 9-11, Paul has defended God's right to show grace to who he wants to. And now we find ourselves in Romans 12-15, which is about a church which is formed or shaped by grace. In this part, or in this section, Paul gives us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, instructions for how we as Christians should live together. But an extremely important thing for all children and parents or adults to pay attention to is that God doesn't accept or receive us on the grounds of what we do, but it is on the grounds of His grace and what Jesus has done. Salvation is a gift from God that God gives us totally free through faith. We cannot, through doing good works, win or deserve God's reception or His salvation of us. Salvation is fully a gift from God. So all of these commands, all of these constructions, or all of these instructions that we receive in Romans 12-15 are grounded in what God has done for us. If we miss this, we will end up wrong. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is not just God's power to salvation, but it is also to transformation, where we, through the gospel, are transformed, we're changed, so that we can live for God. Today's text in the Bible, we find two other texts that are also about how we as Christians should live out God's love. In one way that we love God and our neighbor, the people around us, is through obeying the authorities. The people or the government who God has placed over us. So in this sermon, we're going to pay attention to three things: what, why, and how we are supposed to relate to the authorities, the people who are in government and lead Sweden. So, the first point, what? As we see in verse 1, and then we'll come back to this in verse 5, we read in the beginning in verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For us, this is about that we should be subject to the leaders that God has placed over us in Sweden. Our prime minister, the government, the decisions that the government and the decisions that the government makes or decides, the laws that this country has, we are supposed to obey the instructions from the police and from the firefighters and the authorities. But think if we didn't like the authorities. What if I had a different political opinion? Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome, who under this time had a horrible emperor who was a type of king, and his name was Nero. And later, this emperor would persecute Christians, and he wrongly accused Christians of starting a really big fire in Rome. But a lot of other people think that Nero himself actually started it. Christians during this time became, in the best case, left in peace, but they were often persecuted, and they were looked upon as enemies because they didn't worship the emperor and the gods of Rome. That's the context that Paul is writing to these Christians in Rome, that every person would be subject to the authorities that are over them. and this is both for Christians and for non-Christians, that they would be subject to the authorities, whether it's made up of Christians or not. For example, like this horrible emperor, Nero. It would be great if we had Christian leaders over this country, but we can't be promised that. We, you and I, have by God been commanded to be subject to the authorities that we have over us. So does that mean that we're going to do everything that the state or the authorities say? Yes, but there is an exception. If the state or somebody that we have over us says that we're going to do something that God forbids, or if it says that we're not allowed to do something that God says that we are going to or supposed to do, then we're not going to obey. This is what people call civil disobedience. But for example, if the police asks us to stop, or if maybe not the state, but your parents ask you to not do something, then we are encouraged by God and challenged by Him to obey as long as what they said doesn't go against God. We see this principle in the book of Daniel, which we read in the beginning of the meeting, about how Daniel and his friends were willing to go through the Babylonian religious education. They were willing to receive pagan names, which reminded people of Babylonian gods. And they were willing to work for an idolatrous country. But when they were challenged or encouraged to eat unclean food that God forbid, they didn't do it. When they were challenged to worship the idolatrous statue, they didn't do it. Or when they were forbidden to pray, Daniel prayed. And he was thrown into a pit with dangerous lions. So as long as we're not encouraged to do something sinful, or if we're not being forbidden to do something God wants us to do, we are supposed to be subject to and obey the authorities. But this leads us to our next point. Why? Why should we be subject to the authorities? Which we see at the end of verses 1 to 4. Yes, because the authorities have been placed or instituted by God. So if we read from verses 1 to 2, it says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority." So he's saying in Greek it says "for," like "therefore." "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." So Paul says the same thing three times in these two verses. The authorities is by God. It's instituted from God, instituted by Him. And if you put yourself against the authorities, then you're going against God's design, God's order. To not be subject to the authorities is to be not subject to God. But the only time that we're not going to obey the authorities is if it commands us to do something God forbids, or if they try to hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. For example, Jesus said to Pilate in John 19, verse 11, "You would not have any power over me if you hadn't received it from above." He said this to Pilate, who later would unfairly judge him to death. In Daniel, which we read in the beginning of the service, it is God who instituted and takes away kings and leaders. That we have authority over us is something good from God. because it sustains order in our country. Because God has placed or instituted the authorities, He will also hold them responsible for how they lead and how they steer the country. And this should be all leaders striving or their goal to lead the people as God wants them to. But even those leaders, like, for example, Nero, who didn't follow God, they are also instituted by him. And sometimes we can read in the Old Testament that sometimes God institutes leaders to judgment over his people or over a people. But the emphasis here is actually the opposite in Romans 13, that there is a good purpose for why God has put authorities over us. So when it comes to why we are supposed to be subject to the authorities over us, is that God has placed them over us. And we see two things that have to do with the purpose of the authorities. So the first is that they're placed by God to invoke fear and as a judgment to those who put themselves against it. So we can read in verses 2 to 4. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So the authorities are instituted by God, are a part of his judgment for those who put themselves against God's design or God's order. So take, for example, criminals who steal or commit violence. The authorities have been placed by God to invoke fear, to invoke respect, to deter people from doing evil. And if they would do it, the authorities are there to punish them. In this passage that we listened to last week, we had been challenged or encouraged as Christians to not commit vengeance. So if somebody does something wrong against us, if they sin against us, we're supposed to leave that over into God's hand and give room for his judgment. We as Christians are called to have peace with all people as long as it is possible and depends on us. We're not supposed to repay evil with evil, but we do good, and we overcome evil with good. So vengeance and judgment is God's. But even here in this life, God has chosen to institute the authorities, the government, to judge and punish, even here and now, those who commit crimes. That's why Paul says that the authorities don't bear the sword without reason, but it is a servant from God who punishes those who do the evil. That we have a functional society in Sweden is a blessing, where by and large a lot of people do uphold the law and the order that's been here, even though the state's job is to uphold the law and that which is right in the order. Sometimes we as Christians end up getting persecuted and handled poorly by the authorities. I was speaking with some Christians from India who have been persecuted for being Christians in their own country. And as Christians, we can suffer for our faith because we just like Peter, which when he was being accused for preaching about Jesus, he said, I must obey God more than people. All people are sinners, even leaders, and most of the authorities don't fear God, so they're never going to reign in perfect goodness or in righteousness. But there's only one who is going to do that, and that's Jesus, for eternity in his kingdom. So in this world, we should be prepared that we would be unjustly punished for our faith, even though we haven't done anything wrong. It's important that we remind ourselves that it is first and foremost God that we are supposed to subject ourselves, and that he is going to hold all people responsible for their actions, including the government. But with most of the authorities, there is, however, also blessing in forms of laws and order, even with Nero or in Syria today. And this leads us to the other side of the authority's role, which is for the commendation and for the best of those who do good. So if we do good, if we, in verse 5, subject ourselves to the authorities and follow our conscience through doing that which we know is right, to obey the authorities as long as it doesn't go against God, then it is the authorities' job to commend and act for the good of those citizens. And this is a neighborhood that we need to be praying for, that our authorities would grow in, that they would commend and that they would encourage those who do that which is right. In 1 Peter 2:14, it's summarized well what Paul had written here in Romans 13:2-4 about how the leaders are sent by God to punish them who do evil and to honor those who do good. When the authorities work as it's supposed to, even though it has its flaws, it is a blessing for us as citizens. If I compare Sweden with other countries that I've lived in, for example, Syria or Tunisia, I become so thankful for the authorities that are here in Sweden. Here we don't have to be afraid for the police if we do something good. Meanwhile, in other countries in the world, the police abuse their role and they exploit citizens who they're supposed to be protecting and helping. When we lived in Tunisia, anarchy broke out. When that anarchy broke out, it meant that laws and rules would also not be followed, and there wasn't anyone who would decide or uphold that which was right. So in Tunisia, it became a revolution. It was the Arabic Spring, so the anarchy and chaos which broke out. There was demonstrations where people broke into stores and people were setting things on fire, like even their neighbors' staircases, and it felt like total chaos. But even there, God had control, and we can rest even in a storm like that. So in comparison to this, we have it so, so good in Sweden. And I realize that I can be way too negative about the authorities. We should thank God for the laws and for the order and the stability that we have in Sweden. And a way that we can do this is through mentioning and seeing that which is positive with the authorities and thank God for it. We have, in comparison with so many other places in the world, so good in Sweden. We have so much to be thankful for. So we've now paid attention to what we should do, subject ourselves to the authorities, and why? Because it is instituted by God to punish those who do evil and to commend those who do good? How should we then, for the third and final point, submit ourselves or be subject to the authorities in verses 3 and 6 to 7? In verse 3, we see that we should do good. So as a help in testing that which is God's will in Romans 12:2, that which is good and complete and honors God, we have God's word and we have our consciences. In response to the gospel and in response to being transformed by the gospel, it becomes our duty as Christians to be the best civilians that the authorities can have. That we do good to our neighbors and we work for our state and for our country's best. That, similar to Judah in the Old Testament, when they were captured in Babylon, they were commanded to seek the city's best. In that text that Manuel read, 29 verse 7, it says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare." So we're called to work for our state and for our land's best. But how can we do this? The most important is by communicating the gospel, which leads to transformed hearts and lives. When people are saved, they begin to love God and each other, and they live for God's glory, which is good for societies. It impacts a whole city and a whole country. But we need to also work concretely for our city and for the country's good. And this can be through engaging ourselves in social work, through helping people who have who go through hardships, or who feel themselves outside of the community, like refugees. Or we can also engage ourselves politically in the society and strive after that which honors God, and practically serve in different ways for our city and the country's best. But in everything, we need to prioritize the advancement of the gospel. The other thing that we see in Jeremiah 29:7, in seeking the city's best, is praying for it. And as in the New Testament is spoken about, pray for the authorities. So as Christians, we get to thank God for authorities, and we pray for those who are in positions of leadership, which is what we did in the beginning of the service, so that we, in unity with 1 Timothy 2:2, can live a calm and peaceful life and in all ways God-fearing and worthy. We need to pray for our leaders, both in the city and in the country, that they would uphold righteousness and justice, order, and that they would make God-fearing decisions, so that we can continue to live in a country with law and order. We also subject ourselves to the authorities through following our duty as Christians and paying tax. So we read in verses 5 to the beginning of verse 7, "Therefore one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this you also pay taxes for the authorities and ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed." So the word for servant here in verse 6 is a different word for the same thing which is used two other times in the text. So here the same word is being used to describe how priests in the Old Testament served in the temple for the authorities who stand in God's service. So they served God. So the authorities are servants of God when they receive tax. Maybe we don't like it so much. People like to keep what they've earned, but we as adults can think about that next time we call or write or pay taxes to the tax agencies, that it is a servant of God. And we as Christians, it is our duty to pay tax and revenue, which is a different type of scat that we pay to the authorities, or tax that we pay to the authorities. So the emperors in the kingdom of Rome did a lot that Christians didn't stand behind. But even though we as Christians may not agree with or like everything that they do, we are obligated when we work and buy things to pay tax. So it says in Matthew 22, verses 20 to 21, whose picture and name is on this? Yes, so he's looking at the coin that he has. There's the King of Sweden on the coin. So he says, whose picture and name is on this? And they answered, the emperor. And then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, or give to the states what is the state's, and give what to God. Give to God what belongs to God. So give the emperor, give the authorities that which belongs to them, that which we owe them, and God, who they belong to God. We are created in God's image, so let us give ourselves in service to Him. And the third thing which we see in how we submit or subject ourselves to the authorities at the end of verse 7 is that we would be subject to the authorities through giving respect to whom respect is owed and honor to whom honor is owed. In relation to the authorities, and especially those that we don't agree with, all of their politics, it's really easy to have a bad attitude and not show respect or honor. And this is something that I can see in myself. But as Christians, we're called to show respect and honor to those who are in positions of leadership and work for the government, even when we don't agree with them. We should honor and show respect to all authorities that God has placed or that God has instituted, whether it be the prime minister or somebody who works in an office like the tax agency or the police or the insurance or a teacher or our parents. Here we have the opportunity to be good witnesses, even if we may not agree with these people in certain questions. It's so easy to speak down and to speak without respect about people that we don't agree with, especially politicians or people in the government, especially when they're a person whose office is in public. And it's not wrong to stand up for that which is right and to be against that which is wrong, like abortion. But in everything that we do, we need to do with respect. We need to see the difference between a thing and a person. If we realize that God has placed or instituted the authorities, then we can rest in that even though they may be people that we wish were not in power, God has placed them there. Are you resting in the Lord in this? Do you have peace and rest in the Lord's guiding, even when the laws in our country limits our freedoms as Christians? God is sovereign, and He institutes, and He takes away leaders. And we are called to honor and show respect even towards leaders that we don't agree with. Just like the Christians would have to do towards Nero. Here is where our Christian testimony comes into play. The world is looking at what we say and what we do and how we do it. And it's important that we're good witnesses for King Jesus. So in summary, we're called to subject ourselves to the authorities which are instituted by God, because it is placed there to judge those who do evil and to commend those who do good. How do we do this? Paul has mentioned through doing that which is good and through praying, through paying taxes, and showing honor and respect. And the main thing that our subjection is about is that we are subjecting ourselves to God. But we see in the beginning that there is a great problem, that we and our selfishness and our pride and our sin, we want to be our own kings. And we want to steer or have control over our own lives. That's why we need Jesus. And we need the gospel's transforming power, that we would trust in that God knows what's best and how good it is to be in His will. So let us release control over our lives, and let us trust in that Jesus, He knows that which is best, and in faith trust in Him and His good plans. All human leaders and authorities that we are that we are subjecting ourselves to are broken, sinful, and they reign for short times. But it points to the fact that we need a better king, King Jesus. And He reigns now in heaven, and He's going to come back to reign forever in perfect justice, goodness, and love. We will soon sing about His perfect reign. Hallelujah. Sing of Jesus. He is the one who, hallelujah, His is the power, His alone is the victory. Amen.